The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would do so. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you please do so. I've asked you to mark your Bibles for the book of Mark chapter 16 as well as John chapter 20. Mark 16, John 20. I'm not going to necessarily read anything from John, but we will reference it, and I will ask you, please, ma'am, and please, sir, to be sure to keep your Bibles open on today. Amen. You want to hear what thus saith the Lord. Mark 16, starting with the first verse, the New International Version says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen." On this Easter / Resurrection Sunday 2019, I believe you ought to know that our subject is clear. Come on, somebody. It's on your bulletin. Matter of fact, it's on our banners. I need you to do me a favor and just simply say, "He is risen. My Redeemer lives. He is risen. My Redeemer lives. He is risen. My Redeemer lives." Psalm 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Do me a favor. Are there any redeemed in the house today? Come on, somebody. Are there any redeemed in the house today? Well, if you are redeemed, then do me a favor and tell at least three people around you that he is risen and my Redeemer lives. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody. Say, "He is risen. My Redeemer lives." Hallelujah, he is risen. I need some redeemed folk to tell somebody, "He is risen and my Redeemer lives." Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen, amen. He is risen, my Redeemer lives. Amen, amen, and amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, my brothers and my sisters, is the bedrock of our faith. As a matter of fact, Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. He says, "If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." Then Paul said in verse 17, he said, "If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." In other words, we're just wasting our time in here. Amen. Not just on this Sunday, but on each and every Sunday, if Jesus Christ was not risen. Amen. The words, "He has risen, he is not here," they changed the course of history and continue to do so today. I mean, I don't mean any harm, but Muhammad didn't get up. Come on, somebody. Confucius didn't get up. Buddha didn't get up. Jim Jones is dead. David Koresh is dead. But Jesus the Christ is alive. He got up. Come on, somebody. I need some praying folk in the house with me. Amen, amen, amen. The empty tomb is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. People often ask, why was the stone rolled away? Well, the stone was not rolled away for him to come out. Are you praying with me? But the stone was rolled away so that we could look in. It was rolled away so that the empty tomb could be visible to all of us. The empty tomb, which stands empty today, is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus and is the constant reminder of who we serve. Sister Cargill, we serve an awesome God. Thinking back on that first Easter / resurrection Sunday, remember just a few days prior, the enemies of Christ were confident. They were confident that they had put an end to his movement. His work was deemed a total failure because of what happened on that first Good Friday. You remember what the Bible says in John 19:16-18? It says, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him. So then on that Friday, but then on Saturday, if you will, Christ was in the grave. His life was over. His voice had been silenced, and the miracles were finished. On that proverbial Saturday, the only recorded activity was by the Pharisees, the enemies of Christ. Am I talking to anybody? I need some Bible readers in here. They were no longer concerned with Jesus. But Bell, watch this. They are now shifting their concern to the disciples. This is another one of those events that I've told you before. Just like on that first Palm Sunday and on that Monday, Thursday. This is one of those accounts you got to read through each of the accounts to get the full understanding of the story. Do me a favor, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Do me a favor, turn in your Bible to Matthew 27. Remember, before you get to your celebration, let's talk about what happened before. The enemies of Christ, they feel like they're no longer concerned with him. Now they're looking for his followers. And in Matthew 27, drop down to the 62nd verse in NIV, it says, the next day, y'all with me? It says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. Verse 64 says, so give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Watch this. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Verse 65 says, take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. At that time, the Pharisees, the enemies of Christ, they were concerned about them troublesome disciples. They were concerned that they might steal his body. Now, of course, we know the story. But Sister Lewis, I couldn't help but thinking about the fact that, you know, the Pharisees really didn't have any reason to be concerned about the disciples. How do I know? Because, Bell, right about now, the disciples are on meltdown. They're on meltdown mode, teach Holy Ghost. Listen, the disciples, right before Resurrection Sunday had been scattered, and they were hiding in every available section in Jerusalem for a fear that a cross had their name on it. So, while certainly I can't read their minds, and while the Bible doesn't emphatically say it, I couldn't help but wondering and thinking to myself, I wonder if on that Saturday, the problem is probably none of the disciples were thinking this. I wonder what Jesus is going to look like tomorrow. Y'all ain't with me in here. I also got to thinking, I can't imagine any of them saying to one another, so what are you going to do when you see Jesus tomorrow? What do you think folk talk about even before Sunday morning in 2019? You think folks say, you think we're going to see Jesus tomorrow? Matter of fact, they call you, want to know if you're going to church. Keeling, no one was thinking that they would see Jesus on Sunday. So in essence, that Saturday, the disciples were in utter despair. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to paint the picture for y'all in a minute. You would think someone would have remembered just one of those times, Sister Cargill, one of those times that Jesus promised that he would come back on the third day. Statements like what he made to the disciples when he was talking to them himself, when he was teaching them in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. He says, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Wouldn't you think that someone would have remembered this and do the math? I mean, Sister Gloria, let's see. He was killed, talking about Saturday, he was killed on yesterday, that's day one. Today is Saturday, that's day two. Tomorrow is Sunday, that's day three. Okay, one, two, tomorrow's the third day. You would have thought that somebody would have said, fellas, we ought to get a good night's sleep because tomorrow is Sunday morning and we're going to meet with Jesus. Ah, but nobody connected the dots. Saturday has no hope and no courage. And according to our scripture in Mark chapter 16, watch this, in verses 1 through 3, after the Sabbath is over, so depending on your calendar, that's that Saturday, after the Sabbath was over on Sunday, watch this, the Bible says they actually came to embalm Jesus, not talk to him. Now, I'm going to put a pin in it right here. I don't mean any harm, but if you're a Bible reader, that don't sound much like an Easter parade to me. McFarland, matter of fact, I don't mean any harm. That don't sound much like a sunrise service with all of the hype and the hysteria, not on that early Sunday morning. There was no victory in the faces or in the hearts of the followers of Jesus. That's conviction right there. When folk, you've heard me say it before, when folk look at us, let's hope they see some God in us. They need to see some victory in us. They need to see some Jesus in us. You've heard me say it before. Maybe not you, but maybe your neighbor. You need to say, neighbor, if you saved, tell your face. Not you. It's the one next to you. Not you, though. Early on the first Easter Sunday morning, there was no victory in the faces or the hearts of the followers of Jesus. And it may have been Sunday morning, but Sister Fitzgerald, they were stuck in the hopelessness of Saturday. God Almighty. In other words, Sister Benita, it's a new day, but some folk stuck on yesterday. It's a new day, but some folk are stuck on their past. God Almighty. Watch the text, watch the text, watch the text. Do you know someone who ever feels like the world is stuck on or they're stuck in their past? No matter what day it is, you feel like you just can't find anything good. Every day is a cold, dark, dreary, rainy day. The sky is always gray, pretty much like our Saturday was on yesterday. You can't make this stuff up. But for some people, it's not just about the weather. For some people, that's how they live their lives, under that very cloud. There's no silver linings, and this story always has an unhappy ending. There's just no more courage. There's no hope. There's no reason to be positive. Watch this, because just when you put your hope in someone, watch this, they either let you down or they die. Do you remember earlier when I said that you gotta read through each of the accounts to get a full understanding of the story? Now turn in your Bibles to John 20. I want you to turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 20, because in John's account, he gives us a little more detail about the story with Mary Magdalene. So in John chapter 20, starting with the 11th verse, don't look up there. You got to look in your Bibles. Amen. In John 20, starting with the 11th verse, it says in the NIV, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot." Verse 13 says, "They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.'" I'm going to pause right there. Mary Magdalene, hear me, John. Mary Magdalene buried more than a friend that weekend. She buried the only person who had ever helped her. We don't really know a whole lot about her, and there are some people who will make up some wild speculations about her, but I'm not going to make it up. I'm going to go to the book. Flip back to Mark chapter 16. I want to show you something. I don't need to make it up. I want to show you what thus saith the Lord. So look at what Mark 16, look at verse 9. I know we read it, but we probably read through it and we might have missed it. Look at verse 9. It says, "Now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." Watch this. "Out of whom he had cast seven demons." Why is that significant? Well, it's significant because you got to understand, in the scriptures, the number seven suggests completion. Teach, Holy Ghost. I'm talking to somebody. And so Mary Magdalene was completely afflicted. Now, we don't know what afflicted her. It might have been some type of dependency. It might have been depression, but she was completely afflicted. Now, truth be told, people tend to avoid people that are that afflicted.
But Jesus didn't. He not only befriended her, but the Bible says he delivered her. And so when she comes to the tomb and found, Lord, help me to stand tall. When she came to the tomb and found that the body was gone and that the stone had been rolled away, it never occurred to her that Jesus was simply following through on what he said he would do. Those are the kind of people that come to church. Not just this church, come to church. Because there's some folk who looking for hope and healing, and when they don't get it, they start crying. And God has said, no, wait a minute, wait a minute. And some folk watch the text because listen. And not only did it never occur to her that Jesus had done what he said he would do, but she also missed the miracle. What do you mean, Pastor King? Wait a minute. It's in the text. Turn back over to John. She missed the miracle. There's some folk, when they leave church, they talking about everything but the miracle. They talk about the music. They talk about the building. They talk about folk in the house of God, in the presence of God, and they can miss the miracle. Watch this. What do you mean she missed the miracle? Watch the text in John, because the Bible says, after the verses we just read, she obviously saw the two angels, right? But she didn't realize that they were angels, so she missed them. Why does that jump out at me? Because there are times in our lives when we are so deep in despair, when sadness is so thick, and when the walls are so high that we feel like we just can't get out. Didn't say we didn't come to church, but when it comes to the point that where we can't get out of trouble, those are the tough times when we feel like the world is just simply closing in on us. And we feel like that if anything bad is going to happen, I'm talking to somebody, if anything bad is going to happen for somebody, they say, it's going to happen to me. And then we wonder, and we have these little coin phrases, WWJD. We got hats and bracelets. So then here's a good answer to your question. You want to know some WWJD? You want to know what would Jesus do? You want to know what does Jesus do during those times when you are feeling that despair and maybe the music doesn't lift you? Maybe somebody didn't shake your hand. Maybe somebody for whatever reason didn't speak to you. Folk need to see Jesus. You want to know what does Jesus do? Watch the text in John 20. We're going to finish reading it, starting with the 14th verse. It says, at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Watch the text. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you, good God Almighty, have carried him away, talking to Jesus about Jesus, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. And the Bible says she turned toward him, cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. I'm almost through, but I need to show you something. Do you see what Jesus did? Huh? The empty tomb and the angels didn't open our eyes. So Jesus had to take matters into his own hands. We got too many folk who are putting their matters into the wrong hands. And even when what matters to you, you looking at Jesus, even when you in church, we get so angry at everything else. And Jesus says, but I was standing right there with you. But here, watch the text. He took matters into his own hands and he came to speak to her. Here's what he didn't do. He didn't say, you go get yourself together and then you come back to church. He didn't say, you go pull your pants up, then you come to church. He didn't say, you get a bigger blouse and then you come to church. He didn't say, buck up, soldier, and then you come to church. No, he spoke to her with tenderness and he says, why are you crying on this Easter morning? Amen. As I get ready to close, while there is so much for us to be excited about, and certainly we have reason to be jubilant this morning, I could have very easily fed into your emotions by continuing to repeat, he is risen, my Redeemer lives. He is risen, my Redeemer lives. He is risen, my Redeemer lives. And there's a whole lot of folk who get hyped up in church. But when your feet hit the ground, do you have any answers to your questions? Have you seen Jesus? I can talk about Jesus, but have you seen him for yourself? No. I didn't come here for that. The Lord sent me here to speak to the heart of those who like Mary Magdalene. Somebody here on today dressed up in our best, newest Easter attire. Matter of fact, there were folk who went out shopping for the Easter dress, the Easter shoes, the Easter hat. But that can't help you when you are passing through the seasons of life. You may change your seasonal wardrobe, but we just can't dress this thing up and we still messed up. We're not getting any help. And that's why folk are falling away. Because they say, I'm sick of foolishness. Here it is. People are passing through seasons of life with great sadness. Somebody, you're in the valley. Somebody feels like you're in a slump. For somebody, you're saying, everything I do seems really hard. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your relationship. Maybe it's the uncertainty about your future. Maybe it's just simply you having one problem after another. And while without question, the resurrection of Jesus is absolutely the basis of our faith, but Jermaine, It's stories like this one within the story that reminds us that he is always right there. Even when we don't or we can't even realize it. For somebody, you need to know that your story is in his story. Your story is in his story. I'm almost through, but one more thing. In John 20, verse 13, I want to show you something here. In John 20, verse 13, she says, "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." Why did that jump out at me? Because Sister Cynthia, what got me was she kept calling Jesus her Lord, even in tough times. Even in tough times, I need to tell somebody, Jesus needs to remain your Lord. Anybody can call Jesus Lord on good days. But when we're moving through some tough days, when we're still waiting on our miracle, the proverbial Saturdays of our life, it's not as easy to call Jesus Lord. But oh, how good it will be when Sunday comes. Because that was when she heard Jesus call her name. In verse 15, John 20, the Bible says, he said, "Woman, why are you crying?" But in verse 16, he called her name, Mary. And when he called her name, she knew exactly who it was. When you hear Jesus call your name, you'll say through whatever struggle, whatever situation, whatever it took for you to get to that moment, you're going to say, "He didn't forget. He knew my name. And when I heard him call my name, it was all worth it." There was a song we haven't sung in a long, long time. And it's called "I Am Redeemed, Bought with a Price." And we're not going to sing it. I don't want to put y'all on the spot. But I want you to stand on your feet. And I want you to see those words up on the screen. And even as I read them, you can read them with me or you can just think about them. But the words say, "I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. I'll tell of his favor. I'll tell of his love. I'll tell of his goodness to me. He purchased my redemption with his own precious blood. And from sin, I've been set free. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. There's no shackles on me. I'm as free as I can be because Jesus has changed my life. He died upon the cross, and that's why I can tell the world that I am redeemed. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. If you run across anybody that used to know me, tell them I'm doing fine. The last time that you saw me, I was lifting up holy hands. I'll tell them I've been redeemed." He is my Redeemer lives. Give God a hand clap of praise. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open. Amen. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.